During the feast, I went back and I spent 2.5 days with Ron and Aaron Carey, who are webmasters. They live back in Michigan. And you see, a lot of work that is done with Christian Biblical Church of God is done in homes. So therefore, our overhead is a lot lower compared to where as if we would have to put them all in one location and all meet in one building or whatever, see. Vocalese do all of the page compilation, and they live in Townsend, Montana. Phil Neal, who's our editor, lives in Mississippi. Don and Bonnie Burroughs, who do the children's things, live in Oklahoma. And we live in Hollister. So, let's see, what else do we have? And Randy Vildy's going to give a report here in a little bit on church at home. He works out of his home. So, that helps. And Jim and Betty Hiles work out of their home, and Jim comes up to the office. They live about 20 miles away in Salinas. He comes up to the office at least once a week. So we're able to get a lot of things done, though we don't have a lot of people in one location, and all of that is thanks to the technology we have today. So in not bringing any tapes down and trying to find some tapes, I went to Office Depot. They didn't have any. They only had the small ones. And so I said to myself, you better get with the digital recording. So, anyway, I had to find a Radio Shack. So I finally found one over on Foothill Boulevard, somewhere, I guess, over that direction. And I bought the batteries, and now I find out that they were dead. And they only had 2 packs of 3 C90s. So that tells you they're cutting down on the inventory. So I hope by next time I come down here, December 4th, I will have the digital recorder. And we'll see how that goes. Now, the Bibles, the first shipment is already loaded up on a 40-foot container. It was taken from the factory on the 23rd. And I don't know if it's loaded up on the cargo ship or not, or whether it's on its way, but once it starts, it'll be here in Oakland in about 8 days. So we'll start mailing out the Bibles then, and the next time I come down on the 4th of December, I'll bring a whole batch of Bibles with me. Now, we have God's Bible Pathway for Children, that is at Thompson Shore right now. When I get home, I will have the blue lines and look at those. That's the last look at it before they go to press. And if everything's okay, they go to press, and we will have those within about a month. Now, I'm also talking with a man called Fred McKenzie, I think. He is with the advertising agency for WND. World Net Daily. How many here use World Net Daily? Okay. That's better than the local paper. And we can get a whole month's ads on the home page for the Bible for $8,500, and they have 6 million hits a month. And he said they do very well with religious books and things like this. Okay? So when we have that, we're also going to have our website up for Bible sales, which will be Restoring the Original Bible. Now, we're making progress on church at home, so what I want to do is have Randy Vild, and He's the one who does the editing to make the videos for Church at Home, and he can tell us about that, and he can tell us about the other website, Restoring the Original Bible. So, Randy, if you just come on up here and just give us a little report on that. Appreciate it very much.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's great to be here. And I also want to say it's a great pleasure being commissioned to build this website called Church at Home that Fred Coulter has been talking about for some years now. And you ever do things in life that you wonder why you're doing them, and then later you find out what God was doing with you, with your abilities and talent shaping you? Well, about 7-8 years ago, I started my own business, and I got into video. I've always been an audio type of guy, and I know a lot about the analog world, and now we're in the digital world, but eventually we'll be in the spiritual world, so it really doesn't matter. So I got into video, and anytime I get into something, I really dive into it, and I started learning. It was really an exciting field, and it became my business. And after about 7-8 years of this, to get this job, it's so wonderful that I can see why God was giving me these abilities and to look in. Because is it for Church at Home? Is it going to affect thousands of people or maybe one that really needs it? And so I'm very thankful. I wanted to just thank God for this opportunity, I should call it. And so Church at Home, I also want to make everyone understand that it's not for the church members. It's not to have people stay at home and not congregate like we are doing today, like it says in Hebrews 10:25. I wanted to make that clear to everyone because that was one of my questions building the site. It's for those that don't understand and those that are deceived. In fact, one of the videos that is up is called How the Christian World Has Been Deceived. And I want to now talk about the website itself. It's about to go launch. I don't know if you want to write this down. It's called churchathome.com. And I believe we all also going to have .org and .net. So right now we have three videos up. We have Why Church at Home, that some of you might have seen at various feast locations. Then we just posted yesterday Why Church at Home Part 2. And what's neat about this site is when they go to, let's say, how the Christian world's been deceived, to the right are related links, and there's articles. Then related links to the left for related videos. So if Why Church at Home's up, you might get Why Church at Home Part 2. And then if he's talking about Satan being deceiving the world, you might have various articles on that type of topics. So they can just navigate through. So I also want to say it's wonderful working with Fred Coulter. He really, really wants to do the very best for God's kingdom. And I'm sure most of you know this. I'm just getting to know him, but you can see why God put him in the position that he's in. And it's wonderful to see. And when you're building a website or doing videos, you can be really held back by not having the proper resources. But Fred Coulter just, you know, wants you to get those materials and do the very best. So I'm very happy with that. And I also want to say whoever edited these articles, they are wonderful. Okay, we have an excellent editor in the church. So I encourage when it does launch to go there. Maybe you can turn on people. We are going to advertise the site to get it out there. So we're very thankful. And then also, I'm going to start building a site called Restoring the Original Bible so that people can go and go to this site and learn about this Bible. And we're going to use the various colors that are on the cover to reflect the website. So it's just truly an honor to do this. And we all work for the church. I want everyone to understand that. I'm working directly now, and that's a wonderful thing. But we all work for the church. If you're a plumber, if you're a waiter, whatever you do, because we all give the 10%. we're all a team. It's all a family, and we can help each other. So it's very encouraging to work doing the gospel message. And lastly, I would just like to ask for everyone's prayers. Please pray for me to have better skills editing the website. Pray for everyone involved, the articles, the whole church, and what God's doing. So never forget that. And I'm just so thankful to be part of this, part of you, my family. So we're doing it all for the kingdom. Thy kingdom come.
Thanks for that report. Appreciate it. And I was at his house on Thursday, and he showed me how he finds some of these things, you know, and puts them together. And it's really quite good the way that he does it. He's able to go do a Google search. If I mentioned like Lloyd Gearing, the one who did Christianity Without God, he went online and got a good picture of him, just fit. And he found one of Aldous Huxley. When I mentioned him, his picture comes up, and it's there. Mention about the Pope, there's the Pope out there. So it'll be all up to date. Now, you will be able to download these on your computer, or you can have live streaming depending on whether you have broadband or not, correct? You have to have broadband on your computer. So if you don't have broadband, then you can't download them. Okay. It's too long of an address to give you the test site, but we'll have it moved to another place, and it'll be easier to do. We have been thinking about being able to send the videos out to the brethren, but we don't know whether that will be feasible or not, or the cost-wise, whether we'll be able to handle it or not. We'll just have to wait and see. But anyway, we want to have that restoring the original Bible finished, because we're going to start the ad on WND on the 20th of November. And so since we can't advertise, get a Christmas gift, we're going to have it say, the perfect gift for any occasion. Okay? You know, we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, see? Now, this afternoon, Bob Ellsworth is going to give a report on the Bible sales that he is doing. And he's got some really good things going, so I hope that you'll appreciate that too. All right. Now, that brings us all up to date on these things. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give just a little observation before I get into the sermon, and the observation which is this. On this new handout that Harry has, on one side of it, he did a really great job in putting all the holy days between now and 2030. Okay? So what I want to do is I want to bring your attention to something that I noticed in the pattern of the holy days. Okay? Look on the back side, and let's come down the Passover column. Okay? 2010, it's Monday, but then that means it's Sunday night, we observe it. Monday, 2011, Friday, 2012, Monday, 2013, Monday, 2014, Friday, 2015, Friday, 2016, 2017, Monday, 2018, Friday, 2019 Friday. Now the reason that we have it that way is because it is within a particular 19-year cycle, and that's how it happens to fall. Now notice the change beginning with 2020. And then I will tell you something very interesting about this sequence where the Passover is on a Wednesday and we keep it Tuesday night. So 2020 is Wednesday. 2023 is Wednesday. 2026 is Wednesday. All right. Now, does God use the holy days to fulfill his will? Answer, yes. Did he use the Passover day to spare the firstborn while they were in Egypt? Yes. What sequence of holy days did that come on? Well, we get the clue from Exodus 16, and we know that that particular day, let's go back here to Exodus 16, and let's look at it here. Exodus 16 becomes a very critical chapter also in understanding what is meant by the term between the two evenings in relationship to evening, meaning sunset. Now, verse 1. Now, we made just a slight modification here in the second printing. So let's read it, verse 1. And they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is before Elam, between Elam, rather, and Sinai, and on the 15th day of the second month, there should be a full stop after Sinai, because the Hebrew means that they were already there on the 15th. Not that they arrived on the 15th, because the 15th was a Sabbath. Okay? So, this gives us a clue in being able to count back to the 14th and 15th day of the first month when the Passover and then the Exodus began. And we know how to count back, but because we know the first month has 30 days. So you count back from the Sabbath on the 15th day of the second month, and you come to the Passover on a Wednesday sequence. So I want you to keep that in mind. Because also, whatever you have a Wednesday sequence, what do you have? You have trumpets on the Sabbath. You have the first day of tabernacles on the Sabbath. And you have the last great day on the Sabbath. So here's a pattern. This is the pattern that God used with the children of Israel in Egypt. And also, that being the case then, the counting of 50 days is different than when you start counting like you have Passover on a Monday and you observe it Sunday night. Okay? When you have Passover on the Sabbath, and then the next day is the wave sheaf offering day. So what's interesting is, when you analyze what God did, we'll just take the Passover, unleavened bread, and Pentecost. That all fell in the sequence of a Wednesday Passover. Now, let's come forward. Did God use the same pattern again in the fulfillment of it with the crucifixion of Christ? Yes. The Passover was in the middle of the week. Also, that's the week where the Sabbath, where Jesus was resurrected. That is the week for the first day of counting toward Pentecost of his ascension to heaven. Come forward to Pentecost. What happened on Pentecost? They received the Holy Spirit. So now you compare that with the first Passover with Israel, Passover, first day of unleavened bread, Sabbath, last day of unleavened bread, Pentecost. Compare that with the week of the crucifixion. Middle of the week, 3 days and three nights, resurrection, ascension, on the wave sheaf offering day. We don't know what happened on the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We're not told. Then we have Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit was given. So the question came in my mind, so let me ring my cowbell, which is this. Is the Wednesday sequence the sequence that God uses to fulfill the meaning of those days rather than the other weeks. See, you can't fulfill 3 days and three nights if you have the Passover on a Monday and have him resurrected on a Sabbath, can you? You can't do it if it is a Friday either, can you? No, you cannot. You can't do it if it is on a Sabbath. Because between the Sabbath and the wave sheaf offering day, there's no 3 days. It's just the Sabbath, Passover Friday night, and then on the first day of unleavened bread on Sunday, first day of the week, there's no way you can get 3 days and three nights in there, see? Which is also another important indication why there was not the crucifixion on Friday or on Thursday. God did not use that pattern of holy days. Now, let's come forward and look at something else. In going with the known dates that we have in determining when was Jesus born, and we have that in the appendix here. We have it also in the Harmony of the Gospels. The sequence of events when Jesus was born was beginning with a Wednesday Passover. Because when you count down 40 weeks, you have John the Baptist, father and mother. It lists out his order at the temple when he had the course of Abijah. And when you count down to the birth of Jesus, the middle day of the probable 2 week birth period for Jesus is, guess what? Trumpets. And that trumpets is on a weekly Sabbath, meaning that week of fulfilling, that year of fulfilling trumpets for the birth of Jesus was a Wednesday Passover sequence. Now notice also something very important with Tabernacles Last Great Day. When you have the sequence with a Wednesday Passover like we did this year, first day of Tabernacles is on a Sabbath. You go straight through, and the last day, the eighth day, is also on a Sabbath. Another interesting thing about the service of the priest at the temple. They split the labor on the Sabbath. The priest started their Sabbath work at noon on the Sabbath and finished on noon the next Sabbath, then which was an 8 day period. Now also, with it this way, when you're looking at the millennium, compare the fulfillment of Sabbath to Sabbath, first day of Tabernacles and the last great day, what do you have? You have a sequence all the way through without another Sabbath intervening, correct? So, the first day of Tabernacles is on a Sabbath, and that's when the millennium begins, correct? And what is it called? The rest of God. Then you go all the way down through the 7 days, no intervening Sabbath, and you come to the next Sabbath, and you have the last great day. So I thought that was interesting, so let me ring my bell again. Let someone say I'm setting a date when Jesus will return. But it makes me wonder, when the events unfold at the end, and as you can see, you can have several years in a row with a Wednesday sequence for the Passover. But when the events begin to unfold at the end, is it going to be in a year when the Passover is in the middle of the week? I don't know. When the events come to an end, will it be that the Passover is in the middle of the week and the Feast of Tabernacles will begin on, the millennium will officially begin on the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know. So I just bring that as an interesting question and observation. Will it also be a Jubilee cycle? Very likely will be a Jubilee cycle. So all of these events at the end, when they come together, they will all fit together in the scheme of God according to His holy days. And it looks like, from what we've been able to observe, that the Wednesday sequence of Passover is more likely a kind of week that God would use to fulfill these events. That'll just give you something to think on. Okay? For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.